What is the Boba Fett finale tell us about the future of Star Wars? We answer that question and more this week on Only Stupid Answers. Oh, hello everyone, and welcome back to Only Stupid Answers. This is a show where we answer your questions about movies, TV shows, comic books, Star Wars, so many gosh dang Star Wars. As always, I'm your host, DJ Wooldridge, and with me, as always, is your other host, Miss Roxy Stryer. Hello, Roxy.
Hello, DJ.
We are your hosts. Welcome to this wild ride called Only Stupid Answers,
where we talk about all the things, including weird teaser trailers tweeted out by Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. We're going to get that's a last minute entry into today's episode. We're going to get into it. But first, as always, if you want to catch episodes like this early, if you want to watch the video versions of it early without ads, ad free, if you want to listen to incredible exclusive shows like what Roxy and I are into or the Spider-Versity show that I do with Sal from Comic Pop, you can do that over at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. And I have to mention that Sal and I, just started our coverage of Into the Spider-Verse, the animated movie, and god fucking damn it, it's so fucking good. I've got to be honest, it's so good. Some of those movies, because it takes me like 4 hours to get through a movie because of all the notes I'm taking, because we try to get really into it. And
what's
sometimes
your process? Watch, pause.
It's evolving as I do it. What I've started to try and do is get through like a scene and then go back and like list the important things that I want to touch on in the scene, because it was like, watch a little bit. Oh, I want to talk about this. And it was so easy. Roxy, fuck. It was so easy for the Sam Raimi movies, because I've watched those movies so many times that the movie could just be going and I'm just taking notes because I've seen them. Right. It wasn't until we hit Amazing that I was like, oh, this is going to take more of my focus, because I don't just I don't have this movie committed to memory.
Mm-hmm. What's the weirdest note you've had to write down?
Oh, what's the weirdest note that I've had to write down? I don't, because again, there's so many. I think it was the one that sticks in my mind the most is stuff with like Amazing Spider-Man, and because you're trying to think about it, what's happening right now? Like, what, you know what I mean? Like, where, how is this getting here? Like, why did Kurt Connors leave his lab and go to the sewer? What's happening right now?
It's a really tough moment when you are taking notes on a movie and you can't figure out what's happening. Like, that's, yeah, like if you are taking notes and you still don't know what's happening in a movie, that's tough.
I'm a little worried about Venom, which is the next movie we're going to do, because Venom is a movie that when I just sit back and I let it wash over me, I enjoy fine. I think within the process of like really critically like looking at it and taking notes, it's going to be a chore. Point is, Spider-Verse was such a breath of fresh air. I will say, and as far as the note-taking process goes, a little bit challenging because so much is packed in that movie. There's so many like little details and little moments. And Sal and I were talking about like there's no fat in that movie, that a lot more note-taking had to happen because it's like, oh my God, they're doing so much. But it was so good. It's just so good. Anyway, point is, if you want to hear me and Sal talk about that movie and just gush over it, you can do that over patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. On iTunes, give us a 5-star review, please and thank you. We will review that on the show. Literally, you can write anything you want and I will read it as long as you put 5 stars. And then on Spotify, we ask a question every week and you can answer it there. Last week's question was, who is your favorite alternate version of Superman? This was an honor of the episode we did with Jason Edmund. Sam Jacob says, I love Sunstar from Second Coming, more so in what they represent in context of the story. Second Coming's great. It's from Mark Russell. Roxy, have I ever talked to you about Second Coming?
No.
Okay.
Maybe. Here's, I don't want to say no that definitively, because the truth is, DJ, it would be on air and somebody would point it out. Well, actually.
And also, we've probably talked about this before.
Yeah, but I don't remember.
Roxy and I do a lot of shows, and we talk about...
I remember every word you've ever said, DJ.
And unlike Roxy, I flush my brain. Like, I just have to. For space reasons, I just flush my brain of it. Like, I don't know. I've probably told Roxy the same story at least 5 times at this point.
No, I think it's my gamer brain that helps me remember it all. That's why.
But the pitch for Second Coming, Roxy, is that Jesus comes back to Earth, and God forces him to hang out with that version, that Earth's version of Superman, because that is what God wishes his son was like. he wishes Jesus was more like Superman. It is a comedy. It's like a buddy, like an odd couple roommate comedy.
So it's good. So that works.
Oh, it's so fucking funny.
Oh, okay. And, I was thinking right now you were telling me this was like a serious. Like,
no. It's okay, so fucking funny. And not only is it a great, I knew obviously with the Jesus stuff, it was going to be like a religious commentary. And as somebody that grew up within the church, it's actually a really smart commentary on specifically Christian religious practice, but also any like institutionalized religion. But also what I didn't expect with the Sunstar element of it, it's also a pretty solid critique of like superhero comics, and that like, hey, maybe punching everything isn't gonna fix things. Like just going into a room and punching everybody doesn't actually solve anything. Really great, really good stuff. And then Julian Washington too says, All Might from My Hero Academia. He's just a nice, wholesome guy who just happens to be the strongest person on Earth, which is who Superman should be. I will co-sign that as well. All Might is great, and My Hero Academia is great as somebody that doesn't see themselves as a huge anime fan. My Hero Academia is a really good way to dip your toe in and see if, like, especially if you're like Roxy and I and you're like fans of the superhero stuff, that uses a lot of like Western superhero iconography, so it's easier to like plug into what the show's doing.
That's the most casual you've ever put it. We're fans of the superhero stuff.
Listen, it's not that it's our job to talk about these things.
TJ, would you call yourself a fan of the superhero stuff? I hope somebody asks it like that one day. I'd say I'm a fan of the superhero
stuff. I'd say it's become a defining aspect of my life somehow. Anyway, another thing that, speaking of the Patreon and stuff like that,
yeah,
wanted to start something new. This is our inaugural journey into this. This is Only Stupid Answers. We like to answer your questions, and I wanted to see if anybody at home had random questions they wanted to answer. And we got so many good responses. I'm going to be going through them over the following weeks. But I wanted to start with this one, Roxy. I think this is a good one for you and I to get into on this. From,
I believe you.
From Naren Krishna. What fictional universe do you think would be the best to live in for the average person? I obviously think this comes from the notion that if you like we love the Marvel movies, but if you think about it as just a normal person on the street, it's a fucking waking nightmare.
And I think about a lot of times people will ask this question differently, which is why I like this one. But a lot of people will say, where would you want to live? Right. Mm-hmm. And I don't find myself to be the average person. So I'm thinking like Ready Player One or like, you know, like there's a lot, but average person.
Yeah, just average person, just where, because I think for me, MCU off the table immediately, because everybody.
Does it have to be superhero?
I don't think it does. I think it could be Star Wars. It could be Ready Player One. But the problem, see, here's the thing with Ready Player One is you get to go in that plug in that world, but the real world is a dystopian hellscape. So I don't know. I think for me, because, you know, I think the kid in you would want to say, like, oh, DC Universe. But, like, let's be realistic. You're not going to be a fucking superhero, probably, statistically. And so
I feel like you're going so nerd on this. Like, shouldn't it be an island? You know, like White Lotus if you are white and rich?
If you're white and rich. Yeah, but then White Lotus is our world. What fictional universe do you think would be the best to live in?
Don't tell me that's our world. I'm not okay with that.
No, there's got to be a better option than that. Oh, please, God. But it is tricky, right? Because, yes, listen, if you lived in a superhero universe, you might be snapped out of existence for 5 years. Yeah. But also, they don't seem to necessarily have the systemic issues that we do. What
fictional universe? Well, okay, do we get to pick where we live? Like, if we're going to be on, if we're Star Trek or Star Wars, like, do we get to, like what's that gambling, what's that gambling planet everybody hates?
Oh, on Last Jedi?
Yep.
Yeah, so Star Wars, but you live on that planet.
Yeah, because, like, nobody's ever coming back to you.
Yeah.
They're not bothering you ever again.
I think, Roxy, because I think you 100% answered the question. I want to live in Star Trek future next gen, where humanity's kind of figured its shit out, and everybody's kind of on the same page, and, you know, listen, and we're just trying to find new worlds. That's all we're trying to do.
Yeah, maybe it's like, I feel like thinking outside of the box, it might be something more like Lion King.
Great choice.
But then if you're average, I don't know. You've got to be a king.
You're going to get eaten, but listen, everybody seems pretty cool about it. Everybody seems pretty chill.
You don't want to deal with a stampede. Like maybe, I don't know. Maybe some Disney, some Encanto.
Oh, God, you're so right. Moana, Zootopia. Yes.
Now we're thinking.
Encanto. Oh, but see, the thing is, I don't want to just be a normal person in Encanto. I want to be one of the people with this cool room and the pet special powers.
Yeah, I do get that. I hear you. I hear you and I see you.
Either Star Trek or Moana. Moana's version of the Pacific Islands?
Yeah.
Sorry if I'm getting that wrong.
Moana would be great too, because then you could eavesdrop on some really good songs. And yes. Everybody likes a I've always wanted to live in a musical for a little bit. For everybody, you're walking around, just like the important things they have to tell you, they've got to sing them.
They've got to sing them. You got to belt that shit out. I'm trying to think of
universes.
Well, yeah, I'm just trying to think about the
TV ones, like Lost. I mean, that would be atrocious, but I'm just thinking about any. Are there any Battlestar?
TV? That's really bad. And I even think like Doctor Who, Doctor Who, but it's like, no, especially if you're hanging out with a doctor, that's basically a death sentence. You've got like 3 years before your ticket gets punched.
Would you want to do Game of Thrones or no?
No, God, no. Fuck no.
Well, more so than The Walking Dead, there could be some really bad ones.
Yeah. I think I'm going to settle on, technically Star Trek is a TV one for the most part. I think I want to settle on either Star Trek or like Moana. I feel like there's another Disney movie that I go to that I could. I'm trying to think of like the Pixar movies, but like I think Star Trek or Moana. That's me. That's my call.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'm going through all the Disney, like, you know, Little Mermaid.
Mm-hmm. Little Mermaid's
that'd be
pretty
cool, because then like if you were an average mermaid, you're not dealing with any of that I want to walk on the land shit, and then you're just like a mermaid.
You just get to be a fucking mermaid. Yeah. But see, then, and that's good. The Little Mermaid time is before industrialization is good, because after industrialization, I think mermaid not so hot.
Not so hot anymore.
I mean, you do make a good point, though. Like if you said, when you're talking about like the specificity in the universe, if you're just a normal Atlantean in the Aquaman universe, you're not Aquaman. You're not fucking fighting Steppenwolf. You're just an Atlantean. That could be pretty cool.
That's tight. Yeah. That's tight. You know, like you're probably living a dope life. Mm-hmm. You're like, go protect me, big, strong people.
Yes.
Here I am. Just doing my thing underwater. Look at me go.
Yeah.
Playing the drums.
I don't think there is a part of the MCU that hasn't been touched by terrible catastrophe. Because I was thinking like, oh, if you're like on in Asgard, I'm like, well, Asgard got blown up, so I was like, okay, well, never mind.
No.
Literally, the entire universe got snapped in half. So it's like, all right, well, you know.
Where's that place that Loki ended up?
TVA.
No, at like that castle.
At the end of the universe. Yeah, that seemed like a lonely place to be.
I'm kicking it there. Okay. Leave me alone right now.
Just leave me alone. So those are our thoughts on fictional universes. Let us know what you think of by tweeting us or whatever, commenting on this post. I don't fucking know.
It was solid, DJ. I think we just gave some solid, solid answers.
We nailed it, and I think this is something I'd like to do in the future. So if you have a random question, given the Discord, or you can tweet it at me. I think let's use the hashtag random questions, so that way I know how to find it. And we'll just keep moving on. But again, you guys sent me a bunch already, so we're going to work through some of those. But anytime you guys think of a random question you want us to answer, send it our way. Let's do a little bit of news before we get in the main topic. I haven't even said what the main topic is today. The kids don't even know. They're so fucking confused. It's not like it's in the title or anything. We're talking about Star Wars. Listen, it's the finale of Boba Fett was last week. This feels like a good time for us to be like, okay, Star Wars, where are we at? What are we doing? What's the game plan here? But before we get into that, let's do a little bit of news. Right up top, let's do the breaking news. Literally right before Roxy and I recorded, Mr. Dwayne The Rock Johnson posted a teaser for what is essentially the DC slate of 2022. But I think the only new footage we get is from Black Adam, which I guess is why he posted. We see a lot of the Justice Society. We get a look at Dr. Fate and Hawkman and Cyclone and Atom Smasher, and they all look fucking cool as shit. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, of course, he's a living special effect. He looks amazing. Roxy, what you literally, we both literally just watched this before we started recording. What are your thoughts?
What we need in 2022 are heroes, DJ.
Yeah, this thing, but in the real world, I just, side note, in the real world, we could use some heroes.
How about just nice people?
Let's just settle for nice. Could you some people just be a little bit nicer? Yeah. Can we just settle for that?
I'm just down for like good people, you know, help thy neighbor.
Yeah.
I think that this was a bizarre little teaser. Not bad.
Yeah.
But bizarre. It's my brain is trained, unless I'm at a live event where they're like upcoming in 2022, my brain is trained to think teaser. So I kept thinking like, there was a through line here,
mm-hmm.
and there's no through line because obviously we're seeing little bits and pieces from Batman and Aquaman and
Flash,
Black Adam and the Flash.
Yeah,
I was like, I'll get there. Mm-hmm. I'll get there. Everything Ezra blacked out of my mind right now, I think. And so it's just kind of like these little moments. But then throughout those little moments where we're seeing characters that obviously we know, like Aquaman, or mm-hmm. the Flash, or, you know, that like these big characters, or even Black Adam, because everybody knows. I'm like, is that Noah Centineo? Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Hawkman. Like you're seeing all this stuff, and it's like, huh, this is the way that they're introducing people, and it's trippy for my brain, and not bad, but I just like, wanted to rewatch it multiple times and freeze frame, being like, who's that? What's that? What's happening here? At the end of the day, it's just a cute little teaser, but. It kind of was like all jumbly mumbly. And I was like, are they trying to tell me that this is, they're like, don't forget, we have a shared universe.
But it's weird because the Batman's part of that trailer. And as far as we know, he's not part of that.
Yeah, but he's special, DJ.
He is special. That is true. Side note, Twitter started this thing. It's new for me. It might not be new for other people, where just like random shit will show up in my timeline. Not people I follow, just like random, like, hey, you might be interested in this. And so I've been getting a lot of Batman shit. And there's this, it was this one gif of, I guess in one of the trailers, Batman puts on like a wingsuit. And because it's a gif and it's repeating, it's just Batman pressing a button and this like wingsuit just like appears over his body. And it's like, the more I watched the GIF, the more confused I got about the logistics of how this wingsuit was happening, which is only a problem because this Batman movie seems like it's really pitching itself as like, this is a grounded, gritty, realistic take. And it's just like little straps appear out of nowhere and like buckle up on them. And it's like, wait, what is happening? So it'll be interesting. I'll be interested
technology,
to see how I feel.
Technology, nanotech.
I guess. And maybe within the context of the movie, I'll be like way on board. Seeing it in GIF form definitely was not the ideal version for my brain to accept what it was seeing. But anyway.
What about this excited you, DJ? Anything?
All the Black Adam stuff. I thought the Justice Society looked really cool. I liked, it does look like we're edging really hard on Black Adam, you know, being an anti-hero. The Rock has described him as like, this version's an anti-hero. And like in the comics, it's like, yeah, sort of, but mostly like a villain, like a more of a sympathetic villain than like a anti-hero. This is very much the stuff we see from Black Adam is like his heroic journey. What I do like about that is it positions him in a more complex place than say a Superman or a Batman, where he's starting mm-hmm. off in a more villainous area and then becoming more good. So that arc could be interesting. I do wonder if this Justice Society might be a way for them to test the waters of maybe doing something different than Justice League. What do you think about all the Justice Society characters look really, really cool in this trailer, but it does make me wonder, like, is this like a kind of a backdoor pilot to be like, hey, forget the Justice League, here's the Justice Society?
I don't know, DJ. I don't know that they know the answer to that. You know,
yeah.
I feel like DC, the motto of DC, throw spaghetti at the wall, see what sticks right now. Like that is, they're really, as crazy as this is to say, because, you know, we're 7 years into the movies for DC. When was Man of Steel? It was 2014, right?
I think it was 2013.
Okay. Wow. So you know, 9 years.
Like in 9 years, yeah.
We are at square one.
Yeah, 2013.
God damn it. We're at square one, you know, where we are back to square one. That's really where they are. And I don't mean that in a bad way necessarily. It's an exciting place to be. But like, I really feel like they, even though we've been with these people for almost a decade, this is like, does this work? You know, think about where we were at this point in Marvel 9 years deep.
Yeah. It's God just damn it. I mean, we were almost done. We were approaching Endgame.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that was 11 years in, right? Wasn't
something
Infinity
like that, like 10 or 11. Yeah. No, yeah. I think you're right. I think Infinity War was like the quote unquote 10 year anniversary. And then so Endgame was 11 years in. Fuck me. So God damn.
It's just a very different timeline, you know? And I do feel like maybe not square one, maybe square one half, because one and one half, because yes, we've had a couple Wonder Womans and the first one was successful and Aquaman, you know, we have some building blocks. But I really feel like they're putting feelers out all the time to be like, do you like these characters together? You know, like, and just seeing the reaction. And maybe they're not. Maybe they don't give a flying fuck about our reaction. I'm just hoping that they do. But
yeah, it is so funny how unsure they seem about all of this stuff. Even it makes me think about like, this instinct of like, okay, so they did the Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern and it didn't do well, so it's like, well, I guess we're not doing another Green Lantern for another decade. And it's like, well, calm down on that. Like, I don't know if that's what it's saying with Justice League. Well, Justice League didn't work out, so now we're gonna just burn our bridges. And it's like, I don't know, just fucking chill out, dude. I don't know, maybe pump out a Flash movie and a couple Aquaman movies and we'll see how it goes. Anyway, we'll see. I'm excited for Black Adam. Again, when I think about the DC shared cinematic universe, I don't like thinking about that. When I think about individual projects, excited. Aquaman 2, stoked for it. Flash, interested. We'll see. Got some concerns. We'll see.
Any qualifier to that.
Yeah. Black Adam, excited. The Batman, excited. You know what I mean? When I think about them connected, I'm like, well, I don't like that.
Well, it just draws up a lot of questions. Like, first of all, how?
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, why?
Yeah.
So those would be the two main ones.
And then we don't know about this, but like when I was so excited with Michael Keaton being in there, and now when I hear his voice, my brain thinks like, wow, this is their Batman moving forward. What a genuinely bizarre decision. And that might not be the case, but all signs are pointing to that being the case. But it's like, what a fucking bonkers ass backward decision.
That feels like a throwing spaghetti to see what's like. That
so,
feels like
you're so right. You're so right.
And you're like,
God this? Damn it. Just pay Ben Affleck to listen. Have your Robert Pattinson Batman movie and tell Ben Affleck, listen, you don't even need to get in costume. We're just going to pay you $1 million to show up in the Batcave, give some people some advice, and then so you're that Batman. And for standalone Batman movies, it's our Pats, and we're just moving on.
It's kind of unbelievable how much we haven't been able to make that decision.
Yeah, it's wild. And also, I also love when people are like, the commentary online seems to be like, Justice League made us lose Batfleck. It's like, do you guys not remember the sad Affleck memes from Batman v Superman? That process started almost immediately.
Yeah, that was so sad. The thing that I, more so than Batman though, more so than Ben Affleck, the one thing that I just cannot understand, I just don't get it. As from a business perspective, a financial perspective, which I guess is a business perspective, a creative perspective, like a fan perspective, I don't understand the lack of phone call to Henry Cavill. This is just like, it's insane. Yeah. It's insane because even when Man of Steel came out, when we started doing DC movie news, it was the only movie we had to talk about for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was the only thing we could talk about. So we talked about Man of Steel to the death, and I do not like that movie. But it is undeniable that people want a Man of Steel 2, and people want to see Henry Cavill as Superman. Like, it's just, I'm so confused on why. And Henry Cavill, for years, the suit's still in my closet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, unless he's just saying that to the public and behind doors, he's like, I'm not fucking doing this. I'm baffled by these decisions where it's just like the one decision that every person you would think agrees on. Well, is it, that
maybe that's why they don't want him back, maybe because he stole the suit and they're like, you need to return that suit and then we'll let you be Superman. It was
$1 million suit.
Yeah, we need it back. Yeah, and especially since, like, you just mentioned that you're not the biggest fan of Man of Steel. It's not my favorite of the DC movies as well. But also, we got two bad Thor movies and then a really good one. So, part of that was because the Chris Hemsworth casting was good. The Henry Cavill casting is good. So let's try again.
just try again. You have a Superman who wants to play Superman, who looks like Superman, he talks like Superman, he walks like Superman.
Yeah.
People love the character Superman. And you guys are doing things like, should we connect these? Like, what about you make a Man of Steel 2? It's so confusing.
Yeah, just anyway.
It's been 9 years, DJ.
Oh, what a wild world we live in. So we're running a little tight on time, but before we go to our ad, and before we start talking about Star Wars, I wanted to talk to you because, Roxy, you're my go-to person on this. I wanted to talk to you about Oscar nominations. We got them this week. Did you get a chance to look at them?
I did. It's kind of disturbing how few of these movies I saw this year.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. Yeah, it is. It's weird. It's just a weird, like...
It's a weird year. We've been in the panini. It's weird.
This past 3 years has been a weird year.
And there was like bizarre storylines around all these. Like, to be 100% honest with you, of all the movies that are nominated for Best Picture, I saw two of them. Mm-hmm. It's crazy for me. And yeah, by the time the Oscars come, I think I'll probably have seen six of them.
Yeah. So just looking at the Best Picture, we've got Belfast, which I probably will not see. Coda, Don't Look Up.
It costs $20 right now.
Oh, shit. Yeah, exactly. Don't Look Up, which I'm not. I haven't watched it. I'm not excited to watch. Drive My Car, which I'm interested in checking out. Dune, of course, which we've discussed and we've seen. King Richard, I know you've seen. Licorice Pizza, which is a movie I will probably check out when it's streaming somewhere. Nightmare Alley, which I thought was really good. I don't know if it's best picture good, but it's really good. Power of the Dog, which was not my favorite, but sure, I get it. And West Side Story makes sense.
Okay, so I've seen three of these. It's bizarre. I hear that Coda is amazing. I want to watch that one. And that's, I think, streaming for free on Amazon. So I definitely want to go check that one out. Licorice Pizza had that really bizarre after it came out. There was like huge backlash. I don't know if you heard about all of this.
I see people's like reaction. Like just this week, somebody was like, a movie nominated for Best Picture promotes pedophilia. And it's like, well... So it took me a second. I'm like, what are you talking about? And then I was like, oh, it's Licorice Pizza. And I'm like,
so that's not even what I'm talking about.
I feel like
about.
That might be overblown. Like, I understand what you're reacting to, but I feel like you might be overreacting. But again, I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know.
I haven't seen the movie either. And that's not even what I was talking about. I was talking about people said that it was like my Asian friends said that they thought the movie was very racist.
Oh, shit. I don't know. Because I have not seen it.
I haven't seen the movie. So, yeah. But I have two Asian friends who both separately saw the movie and were like, this is fucked up. Why aren't people talking about this? This movie is racist. I don't even know what they're referring to.
Yeah. Because all I know is I saw the trailer and the trailer I found confusing. I'm like, what is this movie about? And I just haven't. I like P.T. Anderson. Punch Drunk Love is one of my favorite movies. I watch it pretty regularly, but like I haven't seen Phantom Thread. You know what I mean? Like
I love PTA. I cannot stand Phantom Thread. I die on this hill.
Yeah.
It is the most pretentious movie I have ever seen. It is so pretentious.
Yeah. It's the same with Licorice Peach. It's like, I've liked some of your movies. Boogie Nights. I like Boogie Nights, but it's like, I'm not gonna like just this weekend, Steven Soderbergh dropped a new movie. Kimmy, cannot wait to watch it. I didn't have a chance to watch it before the show, but I cannot wait to watch it. P.T. Anderson, I'm like, cool, I'll check that out eventually.
I'm really looking forward to watching a couple of movies on this list. I still haven't seen West Side Story, which I can't believe I haven't seen. It was like one of my most anticipated. It just didn't work. I really want to see that. I really want to see Coda. And I've heard amazing things about Drive My Car. So those
Drive My Car
all
is
things.
3 hours. So it's going to take me a minute to carve out time for that bad boy.
Yeah, that's tough. But of the things that I've seen on here, I feel like it's a bizarre year that Dune's nominated. That's so fascinating to me.
I'm not surprised that Dune is nominated because of how seriously that movie takes itself. I am surprised, even though I'm on record as not being as big a fan of Dune as everybody else is, it is surprising that Denis Villeneuve did not get nominated for directing.
That I would have thought if it was one or the other, I would have thought he was nominated.
Directing,
not it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was kind of strange. And then I did not like The Power of the Dog. I think that that is the phantom thread of this season. It's so, very pretentious.
I mean, I get why it's not. It's well made. And like you said, great performances. It's not for me. Like you said, because
who's it for, DJ?
People for? That really want serious movies that are dramas with a capital D. That's
but
a very
Grammy and Papa watched this. They are Western fans. They love a serious drama.
Yeah.
And similar to most people I saw afterwards, they were like, what happened at the end?
No.
And I don't know about you, but I did some Googling afterwards. I was like, what was
I didn't have any trouble with that. Actually, my issue with the end is the movie takes itself so seriously and is so grounded. And I think the machinations that result in the end are a little bit too heightened for the tone. Like, I feel like, yeah. Maybe have a little bit more. If you're going to do this, maybe have a little bit more. I don't know. Anyway, it wasn't for me.
It's not that there's a bunch of movies that I think should have been here instead. The main one that people have been talking about is Tick, Tick, Boom, that people really wanted to see nominated for Best Picture, which I love that movie.
Boom, I'd say Pig, I'd say Red Rocket, I'd say Green Knight. Baffling Green Knight's not nominated for anything.
I feel like so many people hated that movie, though.
Really? It's so good.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that... For me, I'm with you on Pig for sure. I think Encanto should have been nominated for Best Picture also.
Oh, agreed. Is it Best Animated?
It probably.
It has to be. It's a Disney movie. But yeah, Best Picture, 100%. I also, just looking at Best Actor, I'm genuinely shocked that fucking Nicolas Cage isn't on here for Pig. Are you fucking kidding me? What are we doing?
And maybe In the Heights.
Yeah. Yes. Agreed.
So those are some that I would have thrown in there, but I haven't seen enough of these to know which ones I would kick out.
So I do want to mention, I just recently watched The Eyes of Tammy Faye, and Jessica Chastain is nominated for Best Actress. Eyes of Tammy Faye is fine. It's good. Her performance in it is really good. So I am glad
to
see
it. What is it?
It's about Tammy Faye Baker, who was the wife of a famous televangelist. And so it is about the rise of a fall of her and her spouse's huge, incomprehensibly huge Christian televangelist network. But Jessica Chastain in that movie is really excellent. Andrew Garfield's in that as well, and he's really good. But I'm glad to see her here, because her it's, sometimes you watch a movie and you're like, the movie's fine, but the reason you watch it is for this performance. It's one of those movies. Like, this movie exists for that performance almost entirely. I guess that's it. I think I said all the stuff I wanted to say about that. Just fucking Pig was good, and so was Green Knight.
Yeah, but that's not the kind of movie I feel like that gets nominated.
You're right, Roxy. You're 100% right.
It is, what's crazy about that is they both are celebrities.
Yes.
They're not like tiny little indies.
Yeah. Hold on, I'm just trying to, because normally I find, where what are we doing over here, website? Here we go. I tend to find, nope, not this year. I tend to find that I feel the movies I enjoy best represented in the screenplay categories. But this year it's best adapted as Coda, Drive My Car, Dune, Lost Daughter, and Power of the Dog. And best original screenplay is Belfast, Don't Look Up, God damn it, King Richard, Licorice Pizza, and Worst Person in the World. So I guess I'm kind of in the cold on this one. And I don't know if you saw this, Roxy, but there's been headlines going around about Joe Rogan pointing out hey, maybe people just don't give a shit about the Oscars anymore. And it's oh yeah, you're probably right.
Those are not the Joe Rogan headlines.
Not Joe Rogan, Seth Rogan. Okay. I misspoke. I'm sorry.
I was like, I'm seeing very different Joe Rogan.
No. Not. That's probably why I flubbed that up, because
I don't know if you saw what Joe Rogan's been saying. I was like, how is this going to tie in right now?
Oh, God damn it. Joe Rogan. Fuck.
Certainly did see what he's been saying.
Yeah.
Thank you for.
Yeah. Seth Rogan. Mr. Seth Rogan. Yeah. He was a different, completely different Rogan.
Well, that's a bummer for. It's a bummer for Seth. That's a bummer.
Let's go on a quick ad break, and then we'll be back to talk about, gosh dang it, we're going to be talking about Star Wars. Oh my goodness, we are back. And we're here to talk about Star Wars. If you want to know Roxy and I's our specific breakdown of the Book of Boba Fett finale, you can check that out on Patreon, where we do what we're into every week. We talk about Peacemaker, we talk about Boba Fett. I'm going to be talking about The Tragedy of Macbeth and a bunch of other cool stuff. So check that out on Patreon. But leaving Boba Fett, we've now left the Book of Boba Fett, at least the most recent chapter. Where do you feel like we are with the Star Wars franchise? How do you feel about Star Wars right now, Roxy?
I feel one day at a time about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, and I know that's not the conversation because it's looking into the future, but every episode I see of every show and every movie, I'm just like, I kind of take it as the blessing it is, which is as a kid who grew up really loving Star Wars.
Yeah.
But I call myself a casual fan because I don't know some of the planets. I don't know some of the characters. I watched these movies as a child, you mm-hmm. know, like this is what I watched with my brother.
Yeah.
I saw the original Star Wars trilogy every year for years. You know, this was like so fun to watch. We loved it. And so that kid is like, I'm going to take whatever Star Wars I could get. That's the kid who then loved the prequels.
Yeah.
And then I loved the sequels. Mm-hmm. There's never been a Star Wars movie that I was like, no, fuck that film. Fuck
Solo? Because I know Solo's divisive.
I don't love Solo, but yeah. I don't feel fuck that film. And remember, I'm the only person on the planet who likes that moment where he explains how he got his name. I was like, yeah.
I don't dislike Solo like a lot of people. I don't like that moment.
I love that moment. Loved it. You know, so I'm a fan of Star Wars. And so now we're living in a time in which I have Star Wars TV shows.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, DJ, but I'm also a massive TV fan.
Mm-hmm.
Die hard. So that's so cool for me. And I'm not a big animated person. So I have live action Star Wars shows to watch. And I've got them for the indefinite future. There's a lot of them coming. So I'm feeling like I'm very lucky. We're living in a time where we're very lucky to be nerds and to be fans of this. And sometimes what that means is them making choices that might not be the choices I would make.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And I'm glad there's enough content that the original trilogy hasn't been taken from anybody.
For the most part, I still don't think we've re-released the original George Lucas re-edits. So in a way, the original trilogy kind of has been taken away from people, but we'll
I hear you. I just mean the memories have not been taken away.
Very true. Like, very true.
This is just, I love Mandalorian and I really like a lot of Boba Fett.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling good. I'm feeling like, all right, you throw it out there. I'm a catch it.
I feel like it is interesting that I think it says something about the Star Wars fan base that both you and I feel the need to qualify our fandom.
I know.
Like you say, like I'm a casual fan. And I would say, I'm not a fan, which is weird because it's like I've read a lot of the books. I've watched a lot of the
You're not a Star Wars fan, DJ. That's a sentence you would say?
Because I think every time Star Wars does something that interests me, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. The fan base is like, no, that's not Star Wars. And it's like, well, I guess if that's not Star Wars and that's the stuff I like, then I guess I don't like Star Wars. You know what I mean? Like, and again, so it's a reaction to the fan base. It's like fan base is like, this is what Star Wars is. And I'm like, but what about what Star Wars could be, you know what I mean? Like, what about the potential there? Like so that's weird. So it's like, I know who Cad Bane is. I watched all the Bad Batch. I've watched a chunk of the animated shows. I've seen all the movies, you know what I mean? And yet I wouldn't be like, I would hesitate to qualify myself as a Star Wars fan because I like the fucking goofy multicolored motorbikes in Boba Fett. I liked most of Boba Fett. I like the parts of Boba Fett everybody else didn't seem to like. It's just an interesting fan base. It's an interesting and I kind of feel like maybe that type of fandom is what's keeping Star Wars from being able to grow conceptually. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's look ahead. at what we're getting from Star Wars. I know, Roxy, you just said one day at a time, but guess what? That's not what we're doing today.
Yeah, right? I know.
So on the movie front, this is wild. Roxy, when I was putting this together, this is wild to me. There's literally only one movie on the horizon, and that is Rogue Squadron. And near as I can tell from my research, it is still on the table. Production did get delayed because of everything else Patty Jenkins has going on. And I know in the past recent Star Wars history, delayed eventually means death. But we should still be getting a Rogue Squadron from Patty Jenkins. I don't think it's moved from its 2023 release date as of yet, but we'll see. That's it. That's all. That's the only movie on the horizon, Rogue Squadron. And that's a maybe.
That's bizarre.
So I don't know. Shows, buckle in. Here are the shows. We've got Obi-Wan Kenobi coming in a couple months.
Yeah.
And that's from Deborah Chow. She's the quote-unquote showrunner, although I think like the Marvel shows, showrunner is a weird, it's not like in the traditional show sense. They're fundamentally the director of the show. And each show is treated like a six-hour movie or whatever.
You think, though, because who do you feel like had more say in this most recent one?
That is trickier because as far as I knew, the quote-unquote showrunner was Robert Rodriguez, but Jon Favreau wrote every episode. Dave Filoni's fingerprints all over the thing.
That's exactly what I mean. Yeah. When I asked who had more, I'm talking about Rodriguez or Favreau. And it's like, I don't know that anybody has any showrunner who is not Filoni or Favreau is going to have all of the say in a Star Wars project.
Yeah, I think, I do think you're right. And we'll get into these in some of these shows. If Filoni and Favreau's name are on it, they're kind of the ones running the thing. So I am interested in Obi-Wan since it is Deborah Chow. She directed a few episodes of Mandalorian. I'm wondering if because Filoni and Favreau are busy with Mandalorian and Boba Fett and Ahsoka, that maybe she can kind of do her own thing. You know what I mean?
I don't think that they get busy with things in that way.
It
seems to me like they're like...
Based on
HR's hands,
yes. Based on the scripts that the writing and Boba Fett, I am inclined to agree with you, Roxy. I don't know that it took up a lot of Jon Favreau's time. I feel like he went back to his old 13-year-old his fan journal from when he was a 13-year-old, and he's like, just do this. I was going to point out a specific moment. I don't want to spoil it. There is one moment. I had mixed feelings on the finale. There is one moment that I'm like, oh, like my inner child was fully engaged. And I'm like, oh, fuck, this is so fucking cool. I don't give a shit about anything else that happened in this episode. This is so fucking cool. Anyway, we'll talk about it.
I wonder what moment you're talking about. I think I know, but I'm
not
sure.
I think you do know, Roxy.
Okay.
But we'll see. We'll get into it. This is another one. I'm very curious about Obi-Wan in this next one. Andor, from Cassian Andor from Rogue One. That's theoretically supposed to be coming out this year, too. It's reported already confirmed for a season two, and Tony Gilroy is the one responsible for that show. And for those that may not remember, he was the one that was brought in to kind of quote-unquote fix Rogue One. He did the reshoots. It was kind of, based on reports, a similar situation to Justice League, except without nearly the monumental backlash. So I have literally zero, I have no idea what to expect from Andor.
People seem to be so excited when that was announced.
Yeah.
I feel like that got like some of the most buzz of any of the announcements about the Star Wars stuff. I just don't feel like I know enough at all to know, but I'm not into it.
Yeah. Well, and especially that was one of the first ones. And now we've had a Boba Fett show and an Obi-Wan show. And I think maybe it's getting drowned out by like characters with a little bit more of a track record.
If you're like me, where like you're at the end of the day, I'm going to call it this, DJ. I'm a Skywalker slut. Mm-hmm. Like I'm a whore for the original character. You know, if you tell me that you're doing something with one of my main people, which is Han and Luke and Leia and Darth Vader, and you know, like that, those are my characters. So as much as people are like, do we have to do Skywalker storylines all the time? Like, can we get off Cassian Andor? Whatever, like they, no, what's the fucking name of Tatooine? Can we get off Tatooine ever? Like, I'm like the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, CG all of them. I want to just see them all the time. But because of that, to me, the thing by far and away I've been the most excited about is Obi-Wan. I am like just so incredibly stoked for Obi-Wan. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And as you know, I am a massive Hayden Christensen fan and have been repping that forever too. So it's just like the things I care. Cassian Andor isn't the, or Andor, the series is not the one that I'm going to like sink my teeth into in terms of like, this is the thing that I'm so excited for. Me, I'm like, Obi-Wan.
The trick is though, I'm on the same page with you, but the interesting thing about Andor is that does give it the best chance to surprise. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because it doesn't have that expectation. Like, I'm going into Andor with zero expectations, so I actually might really dig it because I don't know what to expect.
It's the exact opposite of what happened to me with Hawkeye and WandaVision, where Wanda's my favorite character. I was one of the only people I know who's disappointed by that show.
Yeah.
Hawkeye, I didn't give two shits about. I was really excited. That show was very good.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it can surprise you. But yeah, you bringing up the Skywalker stuff leads me to a question from the Discord. Leonard Kim, I'm almost certainly a lonely island on this, but would you be interested in more content from the sequel trilogy? Perhaps explore Rey, Poe, Finn, etc. I'm thoroughly enjoying Mando and Boba and look forward to Obi-Wan and Andor, but I've got zero attachment to any of them. And just a follow-up from Ellie B, who followed up to the that comment, said, more Poe content because he is sexy.
I also agree. They're all three of them are very sexy people. The backlash, I guess is the word, around the lack of storyline for anybody who's not white in Star Wars, and like what took place afterwards, especially with John Boyega being as vocal and stating things that need to be stated as he did. And same thing with Rose. What is her?
The character is Rose Tycho. The actress's name is, gosh dang it, why am I blanking?
Why? Right, wow, both of us. That's so crazy.
I'm bringing it up right now.
Well, you know what I'm talking about, though, with the extreme hate that she got, which was fucking disgusting.
Yep.
And then with what happened with John Boyega's character and him being so vocal about it. I don't know a world in which, I don't know how we do that. I don't know how, I would be super excited to see more about these characters.
Kelly Marie Tran.
Kelly Marie Tran, thank you. I can't believe I couldn't remember that.
Yeah, it's just one of those that, like, our brain short circuited. The second Rose Tycho was in there, it's like, oh, and the other.
I know, I was like, Rose, and then I was like, that's not her name. That is just everything that happened. It would be, Disney would have to be self-aware enough to, like, be writing a love letter, an apology letter, while giving them the space to have real characters. And I don't know that's something that they're going to do or would be willing to do.
I think that's an incredibly excellent point. To directly respond to Leonard's question, I don't think you are a lonely island, because I 100% would like to see more of those characters. I didn't love the sequel trilogy, but I think those actors are great, and I think there's a lot of potential in those characters. Like you mentioned, Roxy, specifically, like Finn and Rose. But I think you're right, Roxy, in that to make that work, Disney, the giant conglomerate corporation, would need to learn how to function like a human being. Like, right. they would need to be able to respond to it on a human level. And I think this dives into something that Star Wars, I think, is struggling with, is that kind of human aspect. Like, I feel like the avatar for that is the deep fake Luke, that they're not even bringing Mark Hamill back to do the voice. They're doing some sort of weird AI conglomeration of things he said from previous movies that has this inhuman quality. And it's like, that's kind of like Disney Star Wars is missing kind of that humanity to it. Because I think that's, I wish they would do that. I wish they would go to John Boyega and be like, okay, we love Finn. We want to make this right. What would you like to see with the character? What can we do on your end? And look at filmmakers that might be able to do that. Like, do a Finn show. Like, invest in. I know we're like really banking on this like post Return of the Jedi, pre Force Awakens era, but don't wait till all those actors are too old to do what you're doing with Luke. You know what I mean? Like, fucking invest. Like, there's a lot of potential in there. And again, can't stress this enough. We already established Grogu takes a fucking lifetime to age. Grogu yeah. could be your preteen. Grogu could be your bridge into from Mandalorian to Finn and Grogu going on a fucking adventure together. I don't give a shit, but like, don't abandon these characters. Don't abandon these actors. But I think it goes back to what we were talking about with DC and their inability to like process, like, oh, people didn't like Justice League, so people made a bad tweet about Justice League and we don't know what to fucking do. It's like, fucking stop. Think about it like as a person instead of this big corporation. And who gives a shit what the fucking trolls say? Make your shit. If you make a good Finn movie, people are going to shit on it, but who gives a fuck if they're getting the fucking money? It's not like the fucking Star Wars movies, those sequel trilogies lost fucking money.
Yeah, totally. And that's why it is weird. I also think, and I think I heard him say this, in order for John Boyega to want to do that, so many of the stars would have to align. Like, they would have to be humans and they would have to say, what do you think about this, John?
Yeah.
And they would have to bring in a creative team that didn't just consist of white people and people who wanted to tell the same stories that have been being told. So I just don't see, while I'm with Leonard, I would love to see that. I just can't picture Disney doing a decent job at that. I feel like what they would do is just kind of more of the same, but maybe they're changing, and not changing because they have a soul, but changing because it's good for business.
Yeah.
You know, like actually making your actors proud of the characters that they're playing and giving them really powerful storylines is good for business.
And I think there's a lot of merit in saying, like, okay, so we're going to do an Obi-Wan. That's for the OG fans. And we're going to do a Boba Fett, OG fans. And then we're going to do a Finn show. And that's, we might get some backlash, but that's going to allow us to gently push this franchise forward. Maybe introduce new ideas. Because it's not just about, people always like, oh, Tatooine and stuff like that. It's not just about like planets or like spaceships. It's ideas. It's concepts. It's like, I keep waiting for, we've had 9 movies now. I keep waiting for the movies to like actually like dive into what the Force means conceptually. What are the belief systems behind the Force other than I push rocks with my mind and there's a good side and a bad side? Like, we're 9 movies deep. At this point, there's got to be some more complex ideas than that. You know what I mean?
I think that's why you and I actually really liked part of the fuck's the show we're watching right now? Boba Fett show. Because on Tatooine, like, when we're finally starting to learn, how does this operate?
Yeah, how do Tuskens even survive out here?
Yes, like, how does this work?
Yeah.
I was really interested in that stuff. I like to take, especially for TV, when you have multiple episodes, I like to figure out where I am and how it happens.
Yeah.
That's cool to me. That works really well for me. You know, it's the same reason why a lot of people thought that Dune should be a TV show instead of a movie, because like, I have questions.
Yeah. And yeah, there's a lot of,
you guys can't spend time on my questions, but I certainly have follow-up questions.
Mm-hmm. So what? Guess what we're saying is, let fucking Finn and Poe go on a space adventure with Luke's Force ghost. And maybe let them do a little kissy face. I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't fucking matter. It's just
fanfic, pitch it.
Because again, I just think it's a mistake to wait. Like, we don't want to have to wait till we deep fake John Boyega into a past adventure. He's here now. And I do think you're right. There, you'd have to jump through some hoops to get him back on board. But you're Disney, you can.
Rightfully so.
Exactly. You can afford to. Disney, you can afford to. Anyway, back to what we are getting. We're getting the Ahsoka show from Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni. And I'm going to be honest with you, that's probably interests me the least of, because that, I don't, no offense to Rosario Dawson or any of the stuff there, that shit interests me the least. I don't like any of that.
Wow, it feels like people are really excited for that. I'm surprised that you are that uninterested in it, but I actually don't have dissimilar. I'm interested because I love that actress, but I'm not like as interested as it seems the rest of the internet is.
Yeah, it just feels like every time we do any of the, like when we went to the fucking where Luke's training Grogu, it's just a lot of the same Force stuff, like self-serious nonsense. Like, is that, we're not saying anything. Like the again, if we're going to spend that time, we need to actually like invest in like, what does the Force actually mean to people? I don't, like going back to Rogue One, we did a little bit of that with the people that the, my brain's just fucking shorting out. the two guys that worshipped at the Force Temple, Donnie Yen, worshipped at the Force Temple, but like aren't Jedi, but they worship the Force.
Oh.
Do that shit. What does that mean? Let's like again, like we were just talking about, I would like them to just a little bit more, develop these concepts more instead of just throwing out more new stuff. Develop some of the concepts you have.
I guess what we're trying to say is bring back Henry Cavill from Man of Steel 2.
Exactly. What are we doing? What are we doing? What is he? How does he feel about the Force?
Star Wars. Why haven't you tapped that yet?
I would watch Henry Cavill on a Star Wars, by the way.
Me too, because like, have you seen him?
Mm-hmm. He's a handsome boy. This one probably excites me the most. The Acolyte from Leslie Headland, who was the co-creator of Russian Doll.
Why is this exciting you the most?
Because it takes place during the comics are doing this right now, during the High Republic. So like 100 years before the prequel trilogy, before Phantom Menace.
And, so before anything you've ever seen?
Yeah. So like, I know comics are fleshing out this time, but as somebody who's not reading the comics, this is completely new ground for me. I didn't watch Russian Doll, but I know it had a lot of love to it. I feel like there's a lot of potential here to, again, do something different. And again, not necessarily different planets or different toys or whatever, different concepts, different ideas, different relationships.
Mm-hmm. But any tie-ins?
Mm-hmm.
Are there any tie-ins, like any family names that will pop? Like,
I don't know. I feel like I don't know. Mm-hmm. I know. Yoda does factor, because again, he's 900 years old. He does factor into the High Republic comics and books that they're doing. Other than that, I think it's kind of completely uncharted territory. So yes, please and thank you. We're also getting a Lando show, which again, it is still unconfirmed whether that's Donald Glover's Lando, whether that's Billy Dee Williams' Lando. So
is that true that we don't know if
we do not know which Lando is Landoing on the Lando show, and that the Lando show is from Justin Simien.
So is there any way it's both?
Like if it's a flashback structure. Yeah. I mean, I love Billy Dee Williams. I will say when we trot out these actors, like they are, it's the same thing with Ghostbusters, man. Like it was so cool to see the old actors in the costume, but it's also, they're so old and creaky. And it's like, we need to move. We're getting to a point. We need to move on. We need to stop putting these septuagenarians in the costumes they wore when they were 30.
However, there's nothing that I want to like. I love Donald Glover.
Yes.
But I don't know that this is what I need him to spend all his time on right now. I need him just. I'm very excited for Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Which is soon.
I think it's the first week of March.
Oh, fuck. God damn it.
Something like that. So I like that energy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe another album.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I agree with that.
But this is cool. And I do love him. And if we could have some kind of flashbacks where they're both in it, that would be dope. Mm. I don't know what the show would be.
Yeah. good question. And then lastly, obviously we're getting Mandalorian season 3 and Bad Batch season 2. But lastly, we got Rangers of the New Republic, which is at this time on hold. And some of the proposed storylines might be used in future seasons of Mandalorian, which I think is a nice way of saying this show is dead as a doornail.
On hold. Words you don't want to hear.
Yeah. We are not getting...
We're on hold.
Rangers of the New Republic, which obviously, you know, that brings up the Gina Carano of it all. But I can't imagine they were banking a whole show off of Gina Carano, off of all people. She had to have been part of an ensemble on that show, right? There was no way she was going to be the fucking lead.
Regardless of Gina Carano's, I'm going to, for lack of a better word, say antics.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Regardless of her antics, just... performance-wise, I don't think there's any way.
Exactly, right? Listen, I like the Cara Dune on paper.
Yeah. I don't think there's any way that they were like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to base a whole show around this person to the point where if she's not around, we can't do it. Like, there had to have been...
She can carry this.
Yeah, there had to have been more going on than just that, but whatever. Let's end with a question from Brenda from the Discord. In my opinion, it seems like Star Wars is at its best when it's looking to new perspectives, Mando, Visions, even Rogue One, rather than establishing existing characters, i.e. Boba Fett or Solo. What do you think Star Wars is at its best, and where do you hope they will go?
So I think I have the opposite feeling on that, which I know is everybody feels the way Brenda feels right now, which is like tread new ground, new territory. I love my original characters, so I like to do that. But tonally speaking, I feel like Star Wars is at its best when it's got soul, when it has heart.
Yeah,
you know, at its core, it's like kind of a family story about siblings and a lack of and parents and a lack thereof, or you know, connections that are lost and love and supporting each other. That's like obviously not what that's not how you would pitch Star Wars to somebody, mm-hmm. but like all those things have soul. You know, Yoda as a character, like there's just so much soul there. There's so much wisdom and there's so much love and power. And so, and it's about good and evil.
Yeah.
And that inherently has soul. So I think that's when Star Wars is at its best, when it's that, but it's also like a little fun.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that has that, I'm down for. It is, I agree, and we'll talk about this when we speak about the most recent episode of Boba Fett. It is not cool when they retread the exact same storylines.
Yeah.
Like when they have I don't love when, even no matter who the characters are, I don't love when we're treading the exact same storylines with some of our characters.
Yeah.
And I will get into that. But I do like some of our OGs.
And also, speaking of that, I think that's another reason why I liked Boba Fett is for me, it was the first time in a long time with Star Wars that I had fun watching it. Like it felt like the show was having fun. Like I know everybody's dunking on that weird spin move that the mod does. And it's like, yeah, that's Robert Rodriguez shit. I love that shit. It's yeah. cool. It's cool just because, why is it there? Because it's cool. Because Robert yeah. Rodriguez on the day thought it was cool or the actor thought it was cool and they fucking did it. Yeah. Again, it's fun.
Sometimes it's a good reason. Sometimes it's a fine reason for something. It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, it's Star Wars. We're having fun. Either we need to spend more time to like deepen this world, or we need to have more fun with it. I mean, you know, or ideally both. So those are our thoughts on Star Wars, the state of Star Wars. Roxy, where can the kids find you?
Everywhere at Roxy Stryer.
Boom. Check that out. You can find me at DJ Talks Trash. You can find this show everywhere that matters at Only Stupid Answers. But on Twitter,
you ain't got the vowels from stupid.
Please like, share, and give us 5 stars. And we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.